All right, the Glenn Bard Parent Series. It's been a terrific aid to parents in helping their kids kind of, I don't know, navigate life. They bring in the top speakers from around the country to give free talks. And you might have heard my next guest with Steve Cochran. He's been on that show several times. Patrick B. McGrath. He's a doctor because he has a PhD. He's also director of the Alexian Brothers Center for Anxiety and Obsessive Compulsive Disorders. That's in Hoffman Estates. And this Thursday, he's giving a talk on Don't Try Harder, Try Different, Managing Stress and Anxiety. Now, a facility that treats nothing but anxiety, you didn't see that a few years ago.
No, it's pretty rare, actually. Our program's one of about 20 in the world that does this really intensive type of treatment for anxiety where people are with us 3 to 6 hours a day, 5 days a week.
And isn't it true, or is it just an impression, that kids are under greater stress and anxiety than when I was a kid?
I think it's true in the sense that we're recognizing it more. I mean, sure, there was a lot of anxiety still back then, but we are recognizing it more now. And we're also seeing it come up in a different way, which is school anxiety and school refusal.
What do you see in your practice?
We see, when we open our practice, we hope for 4 kids a day, if we could, in the school program. We have over 50 now. So it's just a growing trend where people are afraid of judgment, evaluation, not being perfect, and not making the grade that they want.
Or there's something wrong with them.
Right.
Now, what should a parent be looking for that indicates that there is some kind of a churn of stress going on in the gut of a child?
A lot of pulling away from things that they used to enjoy because often a fear of making a mistake comes in. Maybe they were teased one time, they goofed something up, and suddenly that changes everything. And how they were doing before is now switched, and they're just wanting to revert into themselves and make sure that there's no way to be judged or evaluated.
What else?
You would also want to know if it is physical symptoms, too. I sometimes joke about the magic stomach ache that only occurs Monday through Friday, but miraculously never happens on the weekends. And if you're seeing those kinds of physical trends, that would be something you really need to pay attention to.
Are they having a stomach ache, or is it a psychosomatic episode?
It's definitely a psychosomatic episode. I mean, there's so much that's going on in the brain, and especially among kids and hormones and everything, that you can definitely have physical manifestations of these different experiences.
All right, and then what can a parent do? I don't think necessarily you call a hospital. But what kinds of treatments or remedies might a parent try?
Sure. Well, the biggest thing, I think, is not to just right away say, okay, we don't have to do it, because that trains someone to avoid things they're afraid of. So I love the parent who's always encouraging their kid to face their fears and to handle it. I never tell a parent to say, you'll be fine or okay. It's always, you can handle it. And once you know that you can handle something, you won't fear it.
But it's not a suck it up, kid.
No, no. And that's probably the old way of many people thinking that that would work, and that never really has worked. And what also I've found doesn't work is don't think about it anymore, because if you tell someone not to think of a pink elephant, there it is. So it's sit with it, face it, and feel the discomfort. In our society, I think we become afraid of being uncomfortable, and people need to know that it's okay to be uncomfortable.
And what is that discomfort? It's something in the gut, isn't it?
Well, it could be in the gut, yes. I mean, nausea and abdominal distress is one symptom, but it could be trembling, shaking, hot or cold flashes. It could be breathing difficulties, chest pain. There's even feelings that you're going to die or go crazy or lose control. Okay. All panic symptoms.
Why were you drawn to this particular field?
I was actually a bit of an anxious school kid myself. I threw up every day of first grade, and credit my mother for never coming to get me from school, even though I threw up because I didn't have a fever. And by having to stay there and deal with it, I learned how to handle it. So I've kind of always been drawn to those kids who are afraid of things.
Has this field of science and study and research changed over the years?
Yes, we've discovered that the best way to do things anxiety-wise is to have people purposely face things. So anyone who comes to our clinic at Alexian is going to do what they're afraid of. If you're afraid of giving speeches, you're going to be giving speeches. If you're afraid of germs, we're touching things. It's hands-on kind of work. Instead of trying to talk somebody out of fear, we behave people out of fear.
Interesting. And fear of flying, I suppose, is part of that?
Sure. We even have a virtual reality simulator at Alexian where we can put you into a virtual plane and actually fly you virtually before we get you into an
actual one. What is it about the mind that has that kind of reflexive response sometimes?
Well, it's how we're built evolutionarily. We react emotionally before we react logically. So if I said to you, I'm going to throw something at you but not hit you, and told you not to flinch, you would still flinch. You wouldn't trust the fact that I wasn't going to hit you. You would react emotionally first, which is cover your face, instead of trusting me right off the bat when I say I'm not going to hurt you. So it's always that emotional reaction first. So therapy really has to target the emotion and not just try to talk people out of it, because that doesn't work.
And is it typically that you don't resort to medication?
medication can be a helpful experience. I just like to try the therapy first because there's no side effects for therapy, and it has a long-term effect in that once you learn a skill, you can apply that the rest of your life versus always having to take something all the time to deal with it.
And because it is essentially a mental issue, condition, you should treat it mentally. I mean, attack it through thought.
Absolutely, yeah, and behavior as well. And that's really that key component of doing that behavioral work.
So what is a success for you? And how long does it typically take?
Sure. People are with us in our clinic typically 4 to 6 weeks. We have them every day there for a couple of hours a day. And most of our patients at the end, we give a survey, have reported a 70 to 75% reduction in their symptoms while they're with us.
So. What about this topic that you're going to be speaking about on Thursday? Explain this title, Don't Try Harder, Try Different.
I think that we're brought into the idea that if we just try harder, everything will get better. But of course, the problem is that if you try harder at something that's not working, it's just not going to work that much more. So what I try to get my patients to do is, instead of trying harder, try something else. And there's three things everybody tries harder at: avoiding, seeking reassurance, and distracting. And those things work, but they only work in the short term. They're not good long-term goals. So I want to teach people long-term strategies for dealing with their anxiety.
Are you a parent?
No, I am not. But maybe someday. Who knows? Yeah.
But you counsel parents, too. It's not just the child that you're working with.
Right. You have to have the parents involved. If you don't have the parents buy in and we teach them things for their kids, if the parents aren't buying in, they're going to look at what we're doing and say, why are they having you doing something stressful? So we need to really explain to the parents why we want people to do stressful things so that they learn they can handle those stressful things.
And it's just a matter of repetition, I'm gathering.
Yes, it takes one time to learn to be afraid of something. It takes multiple times to learn to be safe. So we have to keep repeating things until people really get that safety feeling while they're doing it.
I'm going to mention this again, but let me say it now. Dr. McGrath, he's going to present this topic, Don't Try Harder, Try Different, Managing Stress and Anxiety. This is part of the Glenn Bard Parent Series. He's going to do this Thursday, that's the 6th, from noon to 2 at the School District 93 Administration Building. That's in Bloomingdale. And you're director of the Lexian Brothers Center for Anxiety and Obsessive Compulsive Disorders. No charge for admission. In other words, free. I love the Glenn Bard Parent Series. It's just a wonderful gift.
Absolutely.
That I know one man is giving in the name of his granddaughter.
Right.
That's making a big difference. And I'm delighted on this particular show to have sometimes people like you come aboard who are going to be speaking the following week.
Thanks. And, you know, and I appreciate, too, that so many times there's still that stigma of mental illness. We're not supposed to talk about it. It's okay to have cancer or various other things. It's not okay to have a brain problem. And so I appreciate that you bring people on who can say that mental illness is just a part of our society, but it is treatable and there's things we can do to help people.
Would this be categorized necessarily as mental illness, though?
Anxiety, well, if it's an anxiety disorder, if it gets to that level, absolutely. But in terms of anxiety, everybody experiences that. And believe me, that's a good thing. We know from studies as early as 1908 with Yerkes and Dobson that some anxiety is actually good for you. If you have none or if you have too much, you won't perform as well as
if you
have
some. Yeah, it's interesting. Like when I speak before a group, even when I go on the radio every day, every week, I don't know if it's anxiety, but I guess my heart rate picks up.
Yeah.
I get excited.
That's great.
It's like the thrill of being on a roller coaster.
Right.
And I enjoy that.
Yeah, and we call that in the zone. That's where you want to be. But I would bet that if you start doing this and you don't feel that anymore, people may or you may notice it's not as good. It doesn't feel as spontaneous or lively. So having that feeling is awesome, and that's what you want.
I think it's one measure of the fact that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Because
after years and years of doing it, you still get a thrill in doing it.
Yes, and sometimes you've heard of Broadway people who say, I started to go on stage and didn't feel that anymore. And that's when they walked away from the role because they knew it just wasn't as exciting as it used to be.
So let's reveal a review very quickly in about 15 seconds.
Sure.
What should parents look for? What should they do about it?
Watch for pulling away. Watch for symptoms that only occur during school time or when there's something that they might be anxious about and they want to avoid, and make sure that you don't let that happen.
Dr. Patrick McGrath, again this Thursday from noon to 2 at School District 93 Administration Building. That's in Bloomingdale, Illinois. Dr. McGrath, thank you.
Thank you.